This week in 1865, President Abraham Lincoln stood at the Capitol and delivered his second inaugural address. The words then were pasted on a single large piece of paper. They are now etched inside the Lincoln Memorial. A new book focuses on what Lincoln said, but also on some of the historical figures who were in the crowd that day. Here now is Alex Ashlock reports.
I think this is his greatest speech, and it's a kind of a spooky, strange speech.
Edward Acorn is the author of the new book, Every Drop of Blood, The Momentous Second Inauguration of Abraham Lincoln.
They're on the brink of saving the country from being destroyed. And instead of having this great celebratory speech, he talks about all the suffering that that war engendered was God's just punishment for the sin of slavery.
Randy Duncan, who often portrays Lincoln, reads the president's words from March 4th, 1865.
It may seem strange that any men should dare to ask a just God's assistance in wringing their bread from the sweat of other men's faces. But let us judge not, that we be not judged. The prayers of both could not be answered. That of neither has been answered fully. The Almighty has his own purposes.
In the crowd listening that day, the actor John Wilkes Booth, an ardent supporter of the Southern cause. Acorn says Booth thought Lincoln was a tyrant who had to be removed, and he would kill the president just a few weeks later.
He got a pass into the Capitol building, and he used that pass to slip in behind Lincoln when Lincoln was walking out to the platform, and somebody apprehended him. God knows what would have happened if they hadn't. There's a lot of people who thought Booth wanted to kill Lincoln right on the platform in the way maybe like Brutus killing Caesar at the Senate.
The poet Walt Whitman covered the inauguration for the New York Times.
He wrote more about the setting of the speech, which makes me wonder how well he heard it. But he wrote about a cloud over Lincoln's head like a bird of peace. And he wrote about the sun coming out, and he wrote about being able to see Venus up in the sky. And he thought all these things were quite poetic statements that this suffering was finally coming to an end.
Frederick Douglass, the famous black abolitionist, was also at the Capitol for the inauguration. As Acorn writes, Douglass had disparaged Lincoln as devoid of anti-slavery conviction. But on this day, he heard Lincoln condemn slavery as a grave sin that caused a civil war.
He came to understand that Lincoln was a statesman who had to time his actions to what the public would accept. And I think that's a very poignant thing to see at the end. He's there at the speech, standing out in the mud because they wouldn't let African Americans into the Capitol building for the ceremonies. And then he went to the White House that night, and the guards tried to throw him out because he was African American, and he persisted and got in to the reception, and Lincoln said, "Oh, here's my friend Douglass," and Lincoln was thrilled to see him and asked him what he thought of the speech.
Douglass told Lincoln it was a sacred effort. The response pleased the president, who wasn't religious but had clearly spoken in biblical terms in a speech that ends with these words.
"With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations."
To me, that is a message that we cannot lord it over each other. We cannot be self-righteous. We cannot look at the Southerners as treasonous who deserve to be punished for this. We have to bind up each other's wounds. And that's an extraordinary thing to say, because while he was saying those words, General Sherman was in South Carolina virtually raping the state to force the South to surrender. There were many people who wanted the South to pay a deep price. They wanted Davis, Jefferson Davis, and Robert E. Lee strung up and hanged for sedition. And Lincoln had a different approach to that, and I think he had a sane and more pragmatic approach.
And more charitable.
I think the level of horror of that war called for charity at the end of it.
For Here and Now, I'm Alex Ashlock.